Are you ready to generate way more leads with way less struggle? I have great news for you. I'm now accepting new students into High Performance Agent Academy. Inside the academy, you'll get 8 months of customized support from me and get access to my entire playbook, sales, marketing, social media, systems, all of it ready for you to copy and paste right into your business. Check the show notes for the link to learn more. We start on May 1st. Hey, my name's Tina Bellevaux, and I am obsessed with all things real estate, growth, marketing, social media, technology, and team building. If you're an ambitious agent who's hungry to grow, work on your own terms, and build a thriving life outside of your business, this is the podcast for you. I got into real estate when I was 18 years old and grew my business from nothing through referrals and social media. And since then, I've built a top-performing team, and I've sold over 1,700 homes and $400 million in sales volume. In this podcast, I keep it real, and I tell you exactly what I'm doing to sell tons of houses, lead my team, market my brand, grow my social following and database, and maintain incredible work-life balance. I'll never shy away from sharing my biggest mistakes as well as the juiciest parts of my secret sauce. Pull up a seat and get ready to learn and be inspired. This is the High Performance Agent Podcast with Tina Bellevaux. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first ever video episode of the High Performance Agent Podcast. We're doing it, Laura.
We're here.
So exciting. We're here. I can see you. You can see me because usually we don't see each other. We turn our video off. You know, I've gotten some really great marketing advice recently that video podcasts and utilizing the YouTube platform is really the place to be. So we're basically experimenting live. And it's funny, one of the things you and I talk about behind the scenes all the time is that like everything with marketing is an experiment, right? And I get to test and see not only if it works, but if it works and feels good for me. So here we are practicing what I preach all the darn time.
And it's one thing that's being used two different ways. Like, so for those that love YouTube and they can search and find all your value. And those that love the podcast in the car can continue with it. Like, you're reaching two different platforms with the same information.
And you know what is so great about this is talking about all the things that I preach and espouse. I was in this like, heartache would be kind of a silly word for it, but like this time just over a year ago, I was do you remember me being like, do I YouTube or do I podcast? And I like, was feeling like I was leaving such an opportunity on the table. But at the time, I just wasn't feeling video. And I was like, I know this is a tactic that works, but I have to put it on the shelves because I don't have the time for it. I don't have the energy. And then here I am over a year later being like, oh, maybe now's the right time. So I think there's that, like, we talked about this in our recent episode about effectiveness and getting things done, of kind of parking ideas on a shelf so that we don't overwhelm ourselves with too many projects and initiatives that we can't carry through. So look at that. We're taking this off the shelf. And what we're going to talk about today in our very first ever video episode is building your own staging department and the pros and the cons of doing that. This is something that I've done in my business. It has been a 10-year evolution. So it has been a really great, so just to kind of give the rundown, we basically stage all of our listings, pretty much all of them. We have a team that I have built and oversee. We have inventory. It's a value add for our sellers. It's something people ask me about all the time, and I just hadn't recorded an episode about it. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
And you're talking about not just staging, you have in-house staging.
In-house
staging. Those are two very different things.
Yeah. And you are kind of thinking about it, but not sure if it's something you want to take on. So I'm curious, like, where you're sitting for this conversation.
I do the dance around staging. I mean, I think we all know that marketing is important and the way your house shows up is very important. I have, you know, there's certain properties where I feel like they have to be staged and I don't have the inventory. So, you know, I get them staged to sell for top dollar. But then I've kind of like picked up a lot of tips and tricks from the stagers. And so like, I feel like I'm a fourth way, like I'm kind of dancing in it, you know, I'm kind of tiptoeing in it. Should I do it? Like I'm bringing the white towels and I'm bringing, you know, just a few things, but it's not staging. I can't call it staging. I'm sprucing it up. I don't know. if there's a term for that.
I'm like laughing. I'm like, that's how you get hooked. It starts with white towels.
And then
you have a staging department.
So if you're looking to get started, start with white towels. And, you know, I think this year I'm really kind of trying to just change the way we do things. And I was like, is this something that I should really add on at a high level? And we've talked about it kind of before. And I put it on the shelf. Sometimes it seems like a lot of work. And then I was like, okay, break this down for me. Like, how are you really doing this? Because, you know, when you're not doing something, it seems so hard.
Yeah. Okay. I think, so that's perfect. We're just going to start from the beginning because it started with white towels. It started in 2014 where what happened actually is this is back in the day when I did call expireds once in a great while. I basically only called expireds in my farm area that were of a good price point. So I took on this awesome listing on a very busy street, but like so great for like the visibility for the signage. And I knew it was sort of the people who lived there, they were not grandmas, but it looked like a grandma house, but it was a $600,000. It's probably a $900,000 house in today's market, but it was 600 then. And I basically asked the seller for permission to thin the house out a little bit. Cause she had all those like window valances that looked like doilies. So it started there. And then I bought all this stuff. And then back at that time, I had an office where I actually had room for things. So I started like bringing it back to my office. And I was already pretty busy at that point. I was already selling about 40 some units a year. So I was already at a point where I just didn't have the time to do it myself. So I have had many stagers over these 10 years, some that were very short-lived and some who like were with me for several years at a time. And I remember my first two, I think I ended up hiring kind of two people. They were hybrid errand runners at the beginning, which is also a really great life hack where if you find someone who's willing to do both, they can not only stage the property, but they can destage it. They can install the lockbox. They can copy keys. They can deliver stuff when something random happens where you need help. So I found these great women who had good instincts and I gave them, you know, the template of what to do because I think we all know what needs to be done with properties. So I just developed a process and then I had more and more inventory. And then eventually someone who worked for me was like, you need a storage unit. And I was like, oh, yes, we do need a storage unit. So then we got one storage unit. And then we have two that are side by side. So we have, you know, a fair amount of capacity now, but nothing like a warehouse. And basically over these 10 years, it's kind of evolved into a sweet spot. And it's funny you said it's like maybe not staging, it's sprucing or finishing things off or whatever you want to say about that. So I always tell clients and then my team members tell clients, like we do what I would call partial staging. It's heavy accessorization. And basically our business model has become that we do that at no cost to them. So on the back end, me as like the team owner, I pay for the storage unit. I buy the inventory and keep it. And then I pay people hourly to do the staging activities. So there's the startup costs of buying quote inventory, and that could be as minor as white towels to actual furniture and everything in between. Then there's your ongoing overhead of the storage unit, as well as continuing to add to your inventory as things get lost, damaged, or dated, or you just don't have enough. And then there's the labor of the actual staging. And what's nice is if you have the kind of people that I've had with me all of this time, I only pay them when there's a house to stage. So it's what in the kind of there's like the millionaire real estate agent has such a good great that book, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. The millionaire real estate agent has a really good budget model and they kind of differentiate between ongoing expenses like a monthly storage unit payment versus something that's more of a cost of sale. And it's only a cost if and when you have a listing, just like you only pay for photos when you have a listing and the sign going up and down and stuff like that. So I've just basically, and this is how I've done everything in my business, I've just added on these kinds of commitments, these financial commitments as I could handle them. You know, at first it was a storage unit that was $200 a month. Now we pay $550 a month for storage. In the scale of my gross commission income and my production, it's totally manageable. It's like, it's never something that would cramp my style. Like, I just don't sign up for things that are going to stress me out and make me feel like, you know, why do I have all of these, you know, these bills and subscriptions and obligations? So that's really kind of the structure of what I've built. And I feel like there's a million things we could talk about, but I think the one thing I want to say first is we don't have an entire staging company and we don't stage for other real estate agents. So it's in-house, it's very bespoke, it's very not, again, controlled, I guess is a way to put it. And to keep my costs reasonable, we don't do anything that would require a moving truck or all of that kind of overhead. So that's where we found the sweet spot of the very, very like heavy accessorization of the kitchen, all of the bathrooms, and then we always do a primary bedroom setup. I think let's pause there, but that is what my staging department has evolved into in the, you know, last 7 years out of the 10 that I've been doing it. In case you missed it, High Performance Agent Academy is officially open for new students and we start on May 1st. Do you feel frustrated by making slow progress, sick of your systems and CRM being a mess, lonely and tired of figuring out how to grow your business on your own? And are you ready for a breakthrough in your sales, marketing, and lead generation? First of all, you're not alone. I have been there and I've blazed the trail to solve all of those problems. I've assembled every single system, template, and marketing strategy I use so you can copy and paste them right into your business. If you're ready to transform everything about your real estate business, this is your golden opportunity. I will walk alongside you for the rest of 2024 and help you plug these systems directly into your business. And we will customize every element to your market, your brand, your voice, and your goals. High Performance Agent Academy starts on May 1st, and I don't want you to miss the boat. Head to the show notes to get the link or DM me on Instagram at Tina Bellavo, and I'll send you everything you need. See you in the academy.
I think it's that middle section where I feel really lost. That, yeah, like I kind of understand, like I understand how to prep a house for pictures 100%, yeah, how to make it look good. And I understand adding like the white towels, but like, I have troubles designing my own house.
I know.
So I'm like, do you hang up pictures? Like you have furniture? Are you putting the air mattress bed in if they don't have the bed? Like how far do you go? And like, I don't know. You're one of those persons that's like good at everything they do. This is not area.
I have not you right there. Me either. I know what I like, but I'm also really good at hiring people. Like my whole house, all of my best spaces for the most part have been decorated by other people. Or when I find something that I absolutely love, I just like rip it off and duplicate. So there's kind of two answers to your question. The first thing is it's a who. So I have always hired people who have that innate ability. Like I do not ask me to style a bookshelf. I actually think that is the measure of whether someone is made to be a stager among many other things. But like, can they take a bookshelf and make it look like an Instagram post? Because I cannot. So I look for people who can do that. And it's definitely a gift, but there's definitely also tons of people who have that gift. I'm not one of them. So I've always, and I think I've really evolved in that. And I actually think social media has changed so much, not just in our lives and in the world, but specific to real estate sales and home staging. Like the bar is so, if I look at like old listing pictures from 10 years ago of mine or anyone else's, like I die. But that was just the standard of marketing in real estate 10 years ago. And things have evolved not just rapidly, but very, very aggressively. So there are a lot of people who I think are in tune with that and know how to create that. So I've hired really well and I give them, I actually created a style guide. That might be kind of a cool giveaway that I could give to anyone who listens to this. So I'm going to go ahead and offer that. I'll find a way to link that up. Basically, what I did was, and I just went through a huge revitalization with my staging team. So it's, again, always been sort of a part-time, hourly, 1099-oriented position where I find people with flexible schedules who have what I call the eye, and they love it and whatever. And that, so basically at the middle of last summer, my two go-to stagers who'd both been with me for a while and were very good were both ready to evolve into other life passions, and they were both needed to move on. And of course, this all came to pass like during my maternity leave. So they've also kind of hung in for me for like an extra month or two. And when I came back, like that was my very first thing, was to go ahead and rehire. So I made a decision to change a lot about what we were doing with staging to level up and centralize things even more. So I put out a post that I was hiring, and I put very upfront what the position is, the pros and the cons, because there's definitely some downsides to staging, like AKA, it's much like sweatier and not like as cute as it looks like in the final post, right? You're like taking curtains down and hauling things in and out of a dusty storage unit. So I like kind of put that out there. I put the hourly rate right out there, because for jobs like that, like I don't want to, you know, have people call me and have the money not work or whatever. So I just put it all out there. I asked my network to share, and I got so many inquiries. There came a point where I couldn't even finish interviewing all the people who reached out to me. And I do have a really good local social media network, but I'm not like an Instagram celebrity. I don't have 25,000 followers. I just have a good list of Facebook friends and people like in my community from being a real estate agent. So like I said this to you in a different episode we recorded, but like there are so many great people right under our noses in our day-to-day lives. And there's something about the staging thing where, you know, maybe ideally someone would have a certification or some training, but I'm just like a grassroots person. Like I love just training people and letting it rip. That's how I've done everything that I've done in my business. The real estate license is the starting point. Everything else has been self-taught. So I put this cattle call out, as we'll call it. I got so many inquiries. I just gave myself permission to only interview the couple people that kind of the cream that rose to the top, which is a little hard when a lot of people are being referred to you. But I basically interviewed the standouts, again, gave them the rundown of what the position entailed, and then basically said, before you commit, you should all go shadow. So I started with four women who were all really wonderful from the interview process. And they went and shadowed one of our existing stagers. And I said, see if you like it, which by the way is a really good filter. Three out of four loved it. And one was like, this is totally not for me. So then those three continued and did a little bit more shadowing. And what I wanted to do was set up a system for me where I'm never in a position where one or two people are sort of sputtering and I have to rehire the whole staging team. So that's just kind of the evolution of where I'm at now. In the beginning, I started with one person. So as I brought these three wonderful ladies on this past fall, another thing that rose to the surface was that all of our inventory had become, and when I say our inventory, I mean our stuff, our accessories. Like it was just dated. I hadn't done like a major clean out in a long time. We hadn't had like a really strong system for that. So we got rid of 80% of what we had. And I just decided to come out of pocket and invest in a lot of brand new stuff, all with like, you know, an eye on the budget. Pretty much everything they bought has come from Target, Home Goods, Walmart, and stores of that ilk.
And they bought that? Did you have to go or did they?
They did everything.
Pieces. Okay.
But what I did is I set the vision and the standards really clearly. I spent about 30 minutes, maybe 60 minutes, scrolling Instagram, checked through using staging hashtags and styled homes. And I screenshot everything that I loved. And then I just took all of those pictures from my camera roll, and then I put them in a Canva document, which is what I'll share with people, the style guide. And I said, this is what I want every bedroom to look like, every kitchen and every bathroom. By the way, staging bathrooms is really hard. That was like a funny thing of finding
white towels. I thought.
Yeah. Yes, but you need like texture and a little bit of color, but not too much and all of that. So we basically created a template of how do you stage a bathroom, how do you stage a kitchen, and how do you stage a primary bedroom, which for us is the air mattress, nightstands on either side with matching lamps, and then one piece of art over. And then we do really heavy accessorization of the bed with like a lot of blankets and pillows and like a lot of depth and like visual interest. So that was a big part of our expense, was just bedding items, blankets, good pillows, stuff like that. And then we have about 10 houses worth of stuff, but please don't let anything I'm saying intimidate you. Like just start with one, like have a kit for one house, and we destage either as soon as the house is under contract, or if we are worried about the appraisal, as soon as the appraisal is complete. And we've actually made it so leveraged that we've trained our stagers to meet the appraiser, let them in, And then they destage as soon as the appraiser leaves. And then for our team, our listing agent never has to go back to the house. The seller doesn't have to worry about it. And then we've got the inventory onto the next house as soon as we feel pretty we've never destaged a house and had it fall through. So you just kind of have to, you know, trust your instincts with that. So
process and system queen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a little worried that everything I'm saying isn't like super actionable, but basically I set the vision of what I wanted the houses to look like. I gave a budget of what I picked a number out of the air based on my instincts and kind of ideas of what things cost. And I said, if you can buy all of this stuff to do, quote, an entire house, which is a kitchen, several bathrooms, and one primary bedroom for $800 or less, I will be happy. Because to pay an outsourced stager in my market to do a package that would be equivalent to that, maybe slightly different rooms or components, but like a similar product, it's about $1,000. So for me, I was like, if I can buy the inventory, and so this is very financial. This is why I put up with the headache of everything I've just told you. Because for us, it works really well to buy the inventory once. Hopefully it'll be in style and in decent enough condition for the next couple of years. And then I'm really just running off of that hourly rate plus the storage unit, which I've budgeted into my annual budget for my business. And for us, I wish I'd said this a lot earlier in the episode. This helps us secure so many listings. Like, yes. It is a no-brainer to hire the Bellavo Group because we make people's homes look so much better than before they hired us. The pictures pop. It looks so much better. I'm like just repeating myself, and they don't have to do anything. They don't have to pay anything. They don't have to coordinate. They don't have to meet anybody. And there's a lot of like variation to what we do. So like we have a vacant staging product, which is really what I've been describing to you.
That's what I was going to ask next. I was like, yeah. What are the house like? So do you have, if you have vacant or if they're living there, like talk me through that. And then like with the listing agent, are they like trying to communicate to the stagers what's going to be needed, or do the stagers just show up with everything?
Okay. Yeah. So we've got a couple things to touch on. So we'll start with kind of there's like really three different offers that we have. There's the full vacant staging, which I described to you. And we're very clear with the client about expectation. It's not the entire house, but it's this and it works. And
because you don't do the living room, correct? So even if it's vacant, you don't do the living room.
Sofas are too big. That's where you get into the moving truck and meeting multiple people and all of that. So for a long time, my whole thing was we only stayed with what one woman can carry. We have now moved to a system where the two stagers work together because they prefer that. And it's really the same number of woman hours for me, whether it's one person spending 6 hours or two people spending 3 hours apiece to get, you know, the whole project done from beginning to end. So that was that's why we don't do the living rooms. It just doesn't make sense. Although living rooms make a great first impression. So that's one downside to our system, right? Versus outsourcing. I think a lot of stagers have sort of a basic package where it's the living room, the kitchen, and the bathrooms, and you've got a really nice first impression. We really like, though, how the bedroom pictures come across and the way we've been doing our bedding and all of that. So I think there's, again, pros and cons. You kind of have to go with what your sensibilities are. So that's the vacant offer. Then we have the occupied offer where somebody lives there and they're going to be living there during the marketing process. And that is either 100% consulting or like 80 to 90% consulting. So many things that there's so many things about this that work. Number one, we help the seller get rid of all of their junk and visual clutter, and you know, their house will sell for more money and we'll do better. Number two, our listing agent doesn't have to be the bad guy. That is outsourced to the stager on a follow-up visit. So our listing agent is able to meet with the seller, not insult them, not get bogged down in all of that when the real listing conversation should be about what their house is worth, what it costs to hire us, how the process, like that's enough in and of itself without also having a consultation about staging and repairs and getting it ready. All very important conversations, but we really prefer to not give that expertise until you've signed a listing agreement with us and committed to working with us.
I love that because that's also where this kind of came up too, that I was like really just trying to refine my listing appointment. And like you get through all those things of marketing, showing your work, and then like they sign. And now I'm like, well, I'm already here. So it makes sense for me to go through the house. Like, you know, that's me. And like, it's draining and it's long. And I was like, okay, how can I do this in a different way? Which is, you know, why we're chatting here today.
Yeah. And then the other benefit to the seller is they get an expert to walk them through all of that. And I think so many sellers have anxiety, and they also have a lot of misguided ideas of what to focus on. Like, and everyone has their own opinions, but one of my things is like, I don't care what your closet looks like as long as it doesn't explode on me when I open it. Because my opinion as your realtor is what matters is how the house photographs. And I've never seen a closet that looks cute photographed on the inside, unless it's like staged or like a gorgeous
an Instagram one.
Yeah, which is like not reality and not like the clientele we serve and the market that we're in and all of that. We just serve lots of wonderful regular people that don't have, you know, necessarily like $3 million houses and closets to match that. So for our sellers, we really redirect their energy to what is going to actually give them the best return on investment for their property and save them like from decluttering their garage. But what actually matters is decluttering their living room and all of those like first impression things and all of that. So it's just such like a win-win across the board. And for us, like a huge part of our brand is that we are very like bespoke concierge kind of service. So I love that one of the benefits to my model is the stagers that come to meet with our sellers, they're part of the Belleville Group team. They're not outsourced. They're not some person we barely know. So that's like a benefit of like that in-house vibe. And we've trained our stagers for what we look for them to stage. So what our listing agent said at the listing appointment ends up matching the advice that the client kind of gets further down the process. We get so many call outs and thank yous for our stagers and our process in the testimonials because the clients really feel the value. They understand the concept of the value at the beginning of the process, but then they really feel it as it happens. And then when they see the photos, that really cements, you know, what they've signed up for. And then of course, like the actual outcome. So that's the fully occupied offer. And then there's this kind of middle.
And a quick question though, just because I like the details with the full occupied. Are you doing their bedding and they're supposed to make the bed that way the same?
Read my mind. So where we go with kind of the middle. So for certain fully occupied people, it's really just giving them their homework and their marching orders. And the stager will give them like a document. Like we have a template for everything. We have a template that says, you know, in this room, do these five things. And you just room by room. And sometimes it's like overarching advice too. And our stagers, we've also trained them of what people should and shouldn't do for like painting and typical touch-up repairs. And they also know when something is nuanced enough that maybe they shouldn't weigh in, then they say, you know what, that's a follow-up for the listing agent. We'll make sure that we, you know, reconvene on that in the next couple of days. So everybody kind of gets a recap at the end of that. So some sellers, this is such like an intuitive vibe-based offer in a lot of ways, because some people would never want you to bring your own accessories and it would insult them. It would offend them. But a lot of our clients are happy for us to bring the finishing touches and bring it together. So it's exactly what you were saying. Like maybe their house is really in good shape overall, but their bedding is way too busy or not aesthetically pleasing, or we really need a neutral shower curtain, or they have a room that's just unfinished and we can go ahead and like pull that together for them. So we have the kind of in between. So it's kind of like a grayer description that I'm giving you. I have a really good success story of that recently of a client who we have a great rapport with. And we, I think, covered a lot of their bedding with our own stuff. We did shower curtains. We even brought like more neutral pillows into their living room. The before and afters are night and day, night and day. So it just works. It gets results. We just only go as far as our client is comfortable with, because again, we don't want to offend or hurt. We just go as far as as we can push the envelope.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's the offer. And yeah, I feel like there was one other question you were asking me with that. I should have made a note of
it. You almost made it sound like it was three different packages, but it's not. Is it just the two? It's either vacant or owner-occupied?
Okay. Yeah, vacant or owner-occupied. And then there's the owner-occupied where we like go really hard on bringing our own stuff because that's often people who have like really problematic accessories as far as just like the colors, or they have stuff that's like really run down and we end up just putting a lot of it away. And one question I thought you were about to ask a few minutes ago is, our stagers don't get into doing the actual decluttering for our clients. You could do that, or you could say, you could budget, if assuming your stager was okay with it, hey, we'll give you up to 3 hours of decluttering support hands-on with you. We did do that for a luxury listing a couple of years ago. And of course, the client loved it. So that's kind of like a case-by-case thing that we do as well.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
So that's the staging team. And I think you, if you're listening still, you've kind of heard the pros and the cons. So the pro for me is it seals the deal very, very consistently. It seals the deal at our full service commission rate. So we have a really amazing conversion from listing inquiry to appointment to signed agreement. We have really high satisfaction. The final product is very much in alignment with what we want it to look like. Oh, and the other thing is it's a huge life hack for leverage. So I kind of gave some clues of how we have trained our stagers to meet the appraiser. They bring comps that our listing agent has prepared. They have a script of questions that they ask so that they can kind of look for red flags in the appraisal and call the listing agent right from there or report back to us on what we need to know. We also have our stagers do all of the property notes and room measurements. That's part of the staging install. So you mentioned long list appointments and feeling very drained. I mean, there's so much to do if you're also measuring every room and writing down, you know, which room is carpet, which room is hardwood floor, you know, like all the things that you want to do to create like a complete listing in the MLS that has all of the fields filled out. So we've also trained our stagers to make all of the property notes and measurements. And then they just flag if there's anything they're not sure about or want to verify down to, you know, whether it was natural gas or oil for the furnace, like everything. So it's set up such that our listing agent doesn't necessarily ever need to go back to the house after the initial listing appointment. So there's a lot of time and energy saved there. And then the stagers just send that information to our team admin so she can also input the listing without driving around to visit houses, which is how I worked administratively a long time ago. And that just wasn't scalable once our team was busy enough. So a lot of time hacks. The downside is that you know, need to build a department. You need to invest time and money. You need to hire and kind of loosely oversee and supervise. It's very much like an out in the field kind of thing. There've been times where I've felt like the staging offer has just a lot going with it. Like sort of I think about like the mental load of motherhood is such like a thing. And I think like the mental load of real estate is major. So every additional thing that's sort of like in-house that you're responsible for versus outsource, there's just that cost benefit. But I think if anyone is listening to this podcast regularly, you're probably pretty like-minded with me that you're sometimes willing to kind of do more heavy lifting or be more involved because you care so much about quality and like ensuring that the final product and the experience is exactly what you would want it to be. And that's something for me, why it's made it easier for me to build a team, because I've at least had the passion and the focus to hire well, create standards, create a visual, you know, brand guide, create, you know, forms and support so that things can be done really, really well in a duplicatable way. And the client gets what they need. And I know that they're getting what they need. And my, you know, the people on my team are also working in their strength zone and they're not necessarily running around measuring rooms or running errands. And then that just optimizes everybody's, not just their results, but really their job satisfaction. That's all.
That's all. I have one question to like, I heard everything on how like, and how you can get started, even if it is just you. Like, I like how you broke it down to be able to stage one house and you're not doing the living room. Like, that was really helpful. And then for me, where I'm stuck is that I know how to make the house look pretty for pictures. And it's like adding, like you said, like the bookshelf, like I didn't do this behind me, even though it's very simple. So where I'm a little bit stuck, if I'm going to look for that person, if that's what I decide that I'm going to have that person, mm-hmm. because I don't want that mental overload and it's not my strength. What did you ask? Like you asked them if they're good at staging, you asked if they're good at the bookshelf. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Who am I looking for?
Such a good question. I've been interviewing people for so long that you've kind of caught me with like, oh, I think I interviewed really intuitively. So I will say what's interesting about the staging position specifically is the first filter for me and my team with the new stagers that we brought on was we needed people who had a pretty flexible schedule, because you know how real estate is. Everything, there's nothing happening, and then you're suddenly dying under a tidal wave of business. So we needed people who could flow with that. Otherwise, it wasn't good. So we started with the filter of asking questions about flexibility, their schedule, where they live, are they near the storage unit? Are they comfortable driving all over Baltimore City and Baltimore County? I've had people say, oh, I won't go in Baltimore City. And I'm like, okay, well, we are not a good fit because that is where 40% of our business is. So those are kind of the early filters. And then I would just ask them kind of their experience with home styling. So a lot of them, let me speak a little bit more specifically. One of the people that we hired, Kim, she has moved several times in the last couple of years. She had actually staged and styled those homes herself. And she sent me the old Zillow listing, which was such a good marketing tactic, by the way. And I was like, oh, I can see her work and her aesthetic is just what I'm looking for. And assuming, you know, the story matches the reality that was really her or whatever, you know, like with hiring total strangers, you always want to kind of inspect what you expect. But she had literally done it, not at scale, but she had the eye. So I think when people have taste, when they have the eye and you give them enough guidance, I mean, this is all like goes into hiring the right people, right? Like there needs to sort of be a cultural fit. They may have the skill or they may just have some innate raw talent, which I think is where I've really excelled in finding people like that and then giving them just enough structure and guidance to succeed and then giving them enough training of here's what I'm looking for. And we had like a very intentional process where there was some shadowing and then a lot of feedback after the first couple jobs they did of exactly what we would want to do differently next time. So that very bold feedback loop that we talked about in the Unbottleneck Your Business episode. And then also I found people who want to work with me and they're like, they like the idea of being part of like the Belleva Group world and like they get energy from that and it's fun for them and they're grown ass adults who they understand that it's not just the pretty pictures. Like they understand that they're going to work and that they're going to be sweaty and that the storage unit is going to be a little bit dingy because it's a storage unit. And some of the homes we list are like super regular. So like for me, it was really important to find people who are just aligned. Like that's my business. Like I've never been picky about the kind of clients I serve. Yes, I've loved increasing my price point, but like I'm just here to help like-minded people. So I think part of what has made me kind of at the level that I'm at now with hiring is because I've been doing it for so long that like I have a little bit of a platform and a following of people who want to be in that. But back when I started, it was the most like micro version of that. It was one of my lifetime friends' mother and some person who she knew. Like I wasn't anybody. I hadn't like made a name for myself in Baltimore yet as a real estate agent. I just got my friend's mom to help me style a house. And then on and on and on. So I feel like that's the thread through everything we talk about. Like it started so unimpressive. I followed the inspiration and I was willing to spend a little bit of time and money, nothing crazy, on investing in it and building it. Yeah, and here it is now.
And I think we have a hard time.
Business.
And I think we have a hard time breaking it down. Like every time I ask you a question, I'm like, I need help in this area. And I'm like, oh, all she did was break it down, start small, feedback, get a who, and then build it from there versus trying to go from zero to 100.
Yeah. Get a who. Some people, there's someone we both mutually follow on Instagram, and I think she does stage and style her own listings. She loves it. So for someone where it's like, you love it, then that's like such a natural offering. But if you're in a place where you're busier or that's not you, but you see a lot of value in using it as a tool to not only get your client the result, but to really secure the listing and to secure the, you know, the compensation structure that you're looking for and all of that. And we don't really have time to keep going on this topic, but I will say, you know, there are all of these commission lawsuits happening in our industry today. Things are ultimately going to change. And this is a time where strengthening your value proposition to sellers and strengthening your brand is more important than ever. So I think there's a really, you said this, I'm just stealing what you said to me before we turned the record button on, but this is a really good time to think about strengthening the value offering for sellers, because if at some point we are in a long-term or in-between part of our market and business structure where buyer agent compensation is gone or greatly reduced, this is going to be the game changer. And when I say this, I mean not just staging, but the things that really cement the seller side of the business.
100%.
So let's leave it there. And I'm always cognizant when we talk about things that I've kind of gotten down to a science of like, here where I started, and remember that Rome wasn't built in a day. And that if this calls to you, then maybe create a set or a kit for one property, or just start doing kitchens and bathrooms. Like, take what I've done and make it better, and then let me know about it. come DM me on Instagram or put it in our Facebook group. But start with something. And then also, the way we started this episode off, if you're like, you know what, this is a really good idea, but that's just not the right time for me, then yeah, put it on that shelf. Put it on a list of things that you hopefully intentionally keep that you think would really elevate your business. And when the time is right, come back, listen to this episode, find some tools, and then go. And that would be my advice for anything, any business strategy. Is it for me? And if it is for me, is it the right time? So we'll end there. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll be back with another episode soon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the High Performance Agent Podcast. Make sure to subscribe by hitting the follow button so you don't miss the next episode. And check the show notes for links to all of my goodies, including my newsletter filled with tips for ambitious agents. You can also find me on Instagram @TinaBellevaux. Talk to you soon.